Thank you and good morning. Welcome to Bible Talk. There was a woman who responded to a knocking at her front door. When she opened the door, there was a man with a Bible who asked her, "Does Jesus live here?" She didn't know how to answer that question, and the question haunted her all day. When her husband came home from work, she told him about the man and the question he asked. Her husband said, "Well, honey, you could have told him that you are a member of a church, you attend church services regularly, you give of your money liberally." And she said, "Well, I know, but he didn't ask me those questions. He asked me, 'Does Jesus live here?' And I don't know." The question that we want you to consider today is, does Jesus live at your house? We want to consider some characteristics of a home where Jesus would live. Well, first of all, Jesus lives in the home that is conducive to purity of heart. Jesus wants us to have pure hearts. In Matthew 5 and verse 8, Jesus said, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." Proverbs 4 verse 23 says, "Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life." We must keep our hearts free from evil thoughts and evil desires, because out of our hearts spring our manner of life, our behavior. We should seriously ask ourselves, is there anything that takes place in our home that could corrupt the hearts of our family? What about the magazines we subscribe to and read? What about the TV programs we watch, the music we listen to, and the books we read? What about the internet websites that we visit and allow our children to visit? Are we bringing into our homes that which will fill our minds with cursing, profanity, vulgarity? Are we allowing ourselves and our children to be exposed to the evil intents and thoughts of people of the world who have no respect for biblical morality? Now, there is plenty of exposure to such things outside the home. We see it plastered on billboards. We see immodesty all around us. We hear evil from those we work with, and our children hear it from their fellow classmates in school. And so we cannot entirely avoid such exposure, but I sure can control what comes into my home. It doesn't make sense that I, as a Christian who love the Lord and hate evil, would purposely allow evil to be piped into my home by means of television and the internet. If a person came into your home and began to tell stories to your children that included cursing and profanity and sexual innuendos, what would you do? Well, you no doubt would tell them that we don't talk like that in this house, and if they continued, they would have to leave. And yet, we allow that very same thing to come into our home by means of TV, the internet, and through the music we listen to and the books we read. You know, it's possible that my children someday could become corrupt in their hearts and life. But if that ever happened, may they never be able to point to anything in our home that contributed to their downfall. May they never be able to say, "Well, Daddy allowed me to watch those movies, or to listen to that music, or to read those books that led to my downfall." You know, as a result of living in an evil world, we and our children will be exposed to evil influences. But the home should be a haven where such evil influences do not enter. We have control of what comes into our home. Exercise that control. The next time you are watching a TV program or listening to a song on a CD that you purchased, ask yourself, would I feel comfortable watching this program or listening to this music with Jesus sitting beside me? Would Jesus feel comfortable in a home where such programs are watched and music is played? Well, Jesus lives in a home that is conducive to purity of heart. And then secondly, Jesus lives in the home that is spiritually inclined. In other words, Jesus lives in a home that emphasizes reading and studying the Bible, a home that provides time for prayer and worship. Under the law of Moses, God commanded the children of Israel to keep the law of God before them and their children. He said, "And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, when you lie down and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Deuteronomy 6, verses 6 through 9. And so they were constantly to keep the Word of God before them. And God requires no less of His people today. In Ephesians 6 and verse 4, Paul says, "And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord." To do this, fathers must teach the Word of God to their children. A home where Jesus lives is a home that will provide for Bible study and worship. Make time for family devotional periods in the home. I know the problems in finding time, but I am confident that some time can be found for family worship if we want to. You see, if we have made God a priority in our lives, then we will find time to seek His will and offer our worship to Him, and to do that with our children. In Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42, we read of a woman by the name of Martha welcoming Jesus into her house. Now Martha had a sister named Mary. Mary sat at Jesus' feet and heard His teaching. Martha, however, was distracted with much serving. Now we don't know the nature of the serving that Martha was doing. It may be that she was preparing a meal or cleaning up after a meal. These are deeds that have to be done at times. And Martha became frustrated because Mary, her sister, was not helping her. And she expressed her frustration to the Lord. She said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me." Now, notice what Jesus said to her. He said, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things. But one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her." Now remember, Mary is at Jesus' feet listening to His words. Jesus said that what Mary had chosen is what is needed. He says it is that good part which will not be taken away from her. Now there's nothing wrong with serving, such as preparing a meal or cleaning up after a meal, but Jesus is saying that His teachings are more important. It is what is needed. It is that good part which will not be taken away from us. Don't neglect it. I know that back deck needs painting and those windows need washing, but may we never get so involved in serving, doing work around the house, that we neglect what is needed and what is that good part which will not be taken away from us. You know, the biggest need in our nation today is not getting rid of the national debt, nor balancing the national budget, nor greater military power, but it is a return to biblical teaching and emphasizing that in our homes. Jesus lives in a home that is spiritually inclined. And then thirdly, Jesus lives in a home that is characterized by love. Proverbs 15 verse 17 says, "Better is a dinner of herbs where love is than a fatted calf with hatred." You know, we may have all the nice things in our houses, but if there is no love, there is misery. Husbands are commanded to love their wives as Christ loved the church, Ephesians 5, verse 25. Wives and mothers are told to love their husbands, to love their children, Titus 2 and verse 4. But what does it mean to love another? You know, some have the idea that love is something that simply happens. They think it is something that we fall into and fall out of, and we can't help it. Well, that is not love. That may be true of infatuation or of lust, but it is not true of love. Love is a choice. Love is commanded. You remember earlier we mentioned in Ephesians 5, husbands are commanded to love their wives. We are commanded to love our neighbors as ourselves, Romans 13, verses 8 and 9. We are commanded even to love our enemies, Matthew 5, verses 44 and 45. Love is a choice. Love is consciously choosing to seek the highest good of another, and it is choosing to seek their good regardless of how they may have treated us. Jesus said, "Love your enemies, bless those who curse you, Do good to those who hate you and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. Matthew 5, verse 44. We can choose to have that kind of love. What do you mean when you say to another, I love you? Well, what some people mean when they say, I love you, is that you do something for me. Let me illustrate. I love oranges, and I do. I love oranges, but I love oranges because of what oranges do for me. They taste good, and they provide me with needed vitamins. But when I have squeezed all I want out of that orange, I throw the peel away. Well, this is what some people mean when they say to another, I love you. They mean, you do something for me. And when they have squeezed all they want out of that person, they throw them away and seek for another person to use for their own pleasures. But when other people say, I love you, they mean, I want to do something for you. I want to give you what is in your best interest. That is biblical love. And that is the love that we must have in our home if it is to be a home where Jesus lives. Fourthly, Jesus lives in a home where there is respect for God's order of authority. In Ephesians 5, verses 22 to 24, Paul says, Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. And so God has placed husbands as the head, and wives are to submit to their headship. Ephesians 6, verses 1 through 3 says, Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. If a home is a home where Jesus would live, then it is a home that respects this order of authority. But let me mention that the husband's headship is not a privilege that has been given to him whereby he is to be served hand and foot by his wife and children. A man who thinks that headship means he can get whatever he wants doesn't know what headship is all about. You see, headship is not a privilege, but a responsibility that God has given the man. As head, the man has the responsibility to make sure that his wife and children are cared for in every respect. He is responsible for providing for the needs of his family. This would include the basic physical provisions of life, such as food, clothing, and shelter. But more importantly, he has the responsibility before God of providing spiritual leadership for the family. And remember, he is to love his wife as Christ loved the church, and so he is to be a loving head. His leadership then must be in the best interest of his wife and children, and not for his own selfish concerns. And so again I say, the headship God has given a man is not a privilege, but a responsibility to which God will hold him accountable. But let me say, whether the man is that loving head or not, the wife still has the responsibility to be submissive to him. The only restriction is if the husband ordered his wife to do something that would violate God's law, then she must obey God rather than man in that case. Read Acts 5 and verse 29. But if his leadership does not violate God's law, she has the responsibility to obey. A home where Jesus would live is a home that is led by a loving husband and father who directs his family in the ways of God, and a home that has a wife who follows that leadership and children who obey and honor their parents. Well, these are four characteristics of a home where Jesus would live. It is a home that is conducive to purity of heart, that is spiritually inclined, that is characterized by love, and that respects God's order of authority.